Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
The fuel protest. Well, how do you feel about it? It's now day two. As Eamon mentioned, we're heading into day three tomorrow. And how long will this continue? Because Dublin city centre is at a standstill today. And I mean, there is no movement. I was down there from just after 9 o'clock myself this morning. And as you approach O'Connell Bridge, you see, you know, small groups of protesters that are all gathered together. And as you look back out over the quays, the only thing you can see is traffic, queues and queues of traffic the whole way back along the quays in Dublin city centre. It is total gridlock there. And it has been since well before 9:30 this morning, because I've been speaking to people who've been stuck behind the wheel of their car since the guts of nearly 6 o'clock today. I mean, they're 6 hours behind the wheel of their car. And we're going to hear from some of those very shortly. If you're in other parts of the country today and you're affected by this protest, I want to know, how are you feeling? If you're stuck like that in traffic behind the wheel, let me know today. Send me in a voice note, if you're safe to do so, that you're not, obviously you're not driving. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. You can give us a call either. 1800 453 106 is the number. But I mean, it's pretty incredible to see the impact that this has had. And when you get down, once you actually cross that main O'Connell Street junction in Dublin city centre and you get to O'Connell Street, you see these huge tractors. And I mean huge tractors, blocking up the entire width of O'Connell Street on either side. And there's a plethora of guards speckled around the area, but it's very quiet and there's no shouting and there was no cheering and there was no chanting. It was people quietly protesting, and some people walking past them expressing their support and satisfaction, and others obviously not. So I met a couple of men who were clubbed together, chatting away among themselves. They were just quite literally right in the middle of O'Connell Street Junction. And I asked them to chat to me and to tell me how long they've been there.
I've been here since 5 o'clock yesterday morning. I started in the protest in Eden Derry, County Offaly.
So that's Tuesday morning?
Tuesday morning, 5 a.m.
Yeah, okay.
I'm here all night.
Are you one of the organisers or just supporting?
I'm not an organiser. I'm a haulage contractor and we're going broke. Broke by the moment. Drivers going on protective no-hose as we speak. Can't afford the fuel, cost the fuel, high rising cost of the bills, the fuel. This is not our protest. Our representatives are here, and this is the government's protest. We're here to talk. They're not willing to talk.
What do you mean it's the government's protest? Because they're not here to meet
they're
you.
They're not here to meet us. They're not meeting us on the fuel surcharges. 20 cents is no good to us. We're going broke, Andrew. We'll be broke. All these men are here. They want to go back to work.
We're groundworks contractors, and we got 260 cents a litre off the green diesel. There wasn't a word about green diesel, and our costs have gone up 80, 90%.
Since when?
Since on the month of March, we were buying diesel at 79 cents on the 1st of March. And now it's gone to 150. It's not sustainable.
Can't sustain it.
Can't sustain it.
Road diesel, Andrea, yeah, in February was 135. It's 179 now plus the VAT. It's crazy. We can't. We cannot.
What kind of support are you getting from the general public here now as they're passing you?
We're getting a lot of support, yeah. We like here on O'Connell Street, they're rolling donuts and giving them a plug now because they came out here and offer tea to everyone free. A lot of the hotels and casinos and bars here on O'Connell Street used to their toilets and everything like that. 90% of the people are supporting us hugely.
Yeah. Okay.
Hugely.
Okay.
Now, we have people giving out. We understand everyone has to give out, but as I said to you a few minutes ago, we've all been through the recession and we've come out the other side of it with our businesses and everything like that. We don't want to go back there, but we're heading back there very fast if something's not done about it. And it's been done all over Europe. Messages coming in there this morning. Poland dropping the VAT. Spain dropping the VAT. You know, why can't Ireland do it? We're giving out money all over the world. We've seen what was done with the World Bank. 30 million extra. Things like that. 830 million gave to 110 countries. Start at home. Charity starts at home.
Okay. What do you want the government to do today? Like, what is going to end this? What will it take to see traffic flowing back over O'Connell Bridge?
Cap the diesel. Cap the diesel. Yeah. The road diesel of 160 per litre plus that. Just till the war ends, we'll go back to normal old school when it's all over and done with. Cap the diesel. Cap the diesel for the agri guys, the farmers. They're all going broke here, Andrea. We won't be here. We're here to stay. We can't go. We've nowhere to go. And the hauliers are currently on the Salins bypass to put a rolling protest up the N7, M50, M4. We're staying as long as it takes. We're here. We're here for good.
Carbon tax. look what we're paying. That is ridiculous. Like £75 a ton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Poland.
€1.
€1.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here? You know, that much carbon tax in our little country, 5 million people.
How long are you prepared to stay here?
We're staying till the government.
Indefinitely.
Yeah.
Yes. Indefinitely. Yeah.
We're there's here. More people coming in.
Like if people go today, there'll be more here tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to go on. It's going to just, it's a rolling thing. Like there's a couple of thousand here today. It might change tomorrow to a different area or a different part of it. But
it just has to be changed. Yeah.
So that's just four men I met in O'Connell Street a little earlier this morning, some of those protesting. But as I said, as you look around all over O'Connell Street and in the thoroughfares leading up to O'Connell Street Bridge, you see the droves of traffic that's backed up right along the quays. And I was thinking about those commuters. You know, those commuters likely listening to us actually here this afternoon, stuck in their cars, their trucks, their lorries. The Dublin bus drivers, I mean, some people sitting there since really early, 6 o'clock this morning, and not physically able to move from behind the wheel of their car. How are they going to get past? How long are they going to sit there? Where are they even going to the toilet, actually? We want to hear from listeners today who are impacted. It's not just Dublin. We know it's in other parts of the country. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. This texter tells me they're trying to currently take their three children from Galway to Cork for their Easter holidays. They're in hours of traffic and diversions. It's an absolute nightmare. I wanted to meet some of the people who are really affected by this in Dublin city centre. I popped over, I knocked on some of their windows and I asked them, how are they feeling?
I support them, but I just want to get my work done. I just feel like they're affecting the people that need to actually do their work, do you know what I mean? But I do support them. It's not cheap, like, do you know what I mean? But I just want to go home. I just want to get home, do you know what I mean? I don't want to be stuck here all day sitting in the same spot.
Have you tried to get past?
Yeah, and they won't let me pass. I tried to get up in the path. I tried to turn left. They still won't let me pass. I can't even go back because it's a one-way street. I'm stuck behind. There's a lorry behind me. I can't get by him, so there's nowhere I can go, so... Just, I have to come to work tomorrow. I'm supposed to be off tomorrow, so I have to come in on my day off and do deliveries.
Make up the work.
Just make up the work, yeah.
And even despite all of that and the impact for you and on your business, but you still support the guys here?
I still support them. They need to be heard, do you know what I mean? But, sure, the government haven't even contacted them. It's mostly their fault as well. They have us stuck here, like, do you know what I mean? They just want to be heard, but nobody's hearing them, do you know what I mean? So it's just, it's nothing we can do at the end of the day, do you know what I mean? It's not our choice, so...
You can't really leave your van either, can you?
No, I can't. I don't even have it. It's a fridge box, so I can't even... The side of it isn't locked, so if I leave it here, someone can get into it. So I have to stay here, unfortunately.
Okay. What about yourself? How long are you here?
About 8 o'clock here, yeah. But
about 2 hours at this stage.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting this, but... I thought... My maps were bringing me up around this way, but... When I went to go around to the left, they weren't letting us. So we have to just... suck it up.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, like, they're here since yesterday, sleeping in their trucks and all, for all of us to benefit. That's what they're doing. Like, yeah. So,
you have sympathy.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And would you be prepared to see this go on for another few days?
I don't know.
Are you happy to stay here for another 24 hours? Like?
We'll be staying out to see you.
I won't be here for 24 hours. I won't be. I'll be moving.
Where's your van or your truck or your car?
Just there, beside that truck.
You're in this big... No, you're in the van, yeah, yeah, so you're in a van too from the front of this. Yeah. But so you absolutely can't move that van right now. You're totally blockaded in here.
Yeah, this is going to actually... It will have an effect on us to the point where today's deliveries will probably be delivered tomorrow. And then tomorrow's deliveries will be delivered the next day. And it's just a knock-on effect. But... It is what it is. You can't do anything about it.
Okay.
So that's just two people who were literally stuck behind the wheel of their vans and their lorries earlier this morning, not able to move because of the blocked off roads right in the heart of Dublin city centre. The reality facing the government now is who's going to blink first? Because we're at a total impasse here. We've got the protesters telling us that they're on day two of what was meant to be a slow demonstration or a slow convoy in parts of the country yesterday. That has escalated now in the space of 24 hours and now we're looking at our main thoroughfares entirely blocked off. I mean, the heart of our capital city is totally at gridlock today. And the protesters are telling us that they're not prepared to move. I mean, they're telling us there today that they're happy to do this indefinitely, is what we've just heard. And we've got the people who are stuck in their cars for the past 6 hours in support of them. So somebody's going to need to make a decision about this. And I want to chat to people across the country today about how you feel. Like, I don't agree that people should be prevented from going to work. I don't agree that people should be missing long-awaited medical appointments. I don't agree that people stuck in their cars today trying to travel across parts of the country or Dublin city centre to visit loved ones who are sick or bring children to medical appointments should miss those appointments. I don't agree with that. So how are we going to solve this solution? We've got the Taoiseach Micheál Martin telling us that he doesn't think this protest and this level of protest leaving our city centre as a car park is acceptable. So somebody is going to have to make a decision. There's going to have to be some level of dialogue. The government is going to have to meet with the protesters, I think. I'm not saying they have to give in to their demands. I'm not saying they have to give in to their every demands at all. But there's going to have to be some level of discussion. Because the protesters, as you just heard, are telling us this is going to go on. And what's it going to be like next week when the schools go back? And for all of the people that are off on Easter holidays today, can you imagine the situation they're going to face? And when those cars that are 4 and 5 and 6 back on the quays start to get really peed off later on this evening, what's going to happen then? 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. Peter's with me. Peter, you're in Castlebar, is that right?
Yes, good morning. How are you?
Good. So what's the situation in Castlebar today? Are there protests?
No, there are no protests today. The traffic is moving perfectly. I'm on my way to Westboro at the moment.
Okay.
So it's very, very good. The question I have is the cost of this, not just on fuel, but on manpower, and on people who have missed work, missed appointments, etc., etc. That must go into millions and millions of euros. Is this taken into consideration?
Yeah, this is the loss of doing business, is it, Peter?
It's not just the business, but I mean the cost of fuel for this protest alone, yesterday and today and ongoing.
Yeah. Do you support the protesters, Peter?
No, I do not.
Not at all.
Everybody has the right to protest. Everybody has the right to protest, but not hold the country to ransom as they're doing.
And that's what you think's happening, is it? You just think this is a too, I don't know, is heavy the right word, but is it too extreme?
It is too extreme. The government did move a couple of weeks ago and they give a reduction, which I thought was fair enough. And there's probably another one coming as well. But they're not giving the government a chance.
So you think the government should just stick...
Hopefully the strait is open as of today and fuel price will come down anyway.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, the country's been held to ransom.
So what's your message to those that are part of this protest? And as I said, it's not just in Dublin. I mean, we know it's in other parts of the country. We've heard of blockades, you know, across various different routeways as well since early this morning. What's your message
indeed,
to them?
Well, the message is, listen, go back to work. The prices will come down. And it's okay, I'd probably say, oh, it costs me 600 a week. You've got I don't know. I'm on the way to a funeral at the moment. I'm funeral duty, and we have a cremation tomorrow in Shannon. We don't know if we're even going to get there or not.
Of course.
You know, so I mean, this is probably minor to a lot of people, but hospital appointments,
catering
holidays, etc. It's major. And if anything, I'm angry at this.
So you're trying to get from Castlebar. Sorry, it's to Limerick tomorrow, Peter. Is it for the
from Westport? To Shannon.
Westport to Shannon, apologies. Okay, so you're going to Westport to Shannon for tomorrow for a cremation, and you're concerned you might not get there in time.
Correct. If the protests go ahead tomorrow, I mean, they're even blocking filling stations, I believe, today as well. What about people in electric cars? When their battery dies, who's going to move them?
I hadn't thought of that point, to be honest. Yeah, I wonder if there are many EV drivers that, yeah. Hopefully they're well, surely they've them turned off if they're stuck in some of the traffic that I've witnessed this morning. But your message, Peter, is get back to work. That's what you're telling the protesters to do today.
Correct. The country is we need all those services. And we agree the prices are high, but the government did act a couple of weeks ago and they will act again. Give them a chance.
Okay. 1800 453 106, the number. Peter, look, I hope you get to, I hope you make it to that funeral tomorrow. I know that's obviously a huge concern, I'm sure, for you and family members trying to get to that. Jeff is with me on the line. Jeff, where in the country are you?
Trim now. I was in Dublin earlier, though.
And had you any hassle getting from Dublin to Trim?
I had a nightmare, yeah. So the bus driver just kind of stopped at one stop and said, I can't go any further. I've just been told that O'Connell Street's completely blocked. So we kind of have to get off at the Mater. And then it was about a 40-minute walk to bus air, so they got a call. I had to, you know, pick up the daughter from Fresh. So I was in bus air, and then they sent me back to Broadstone. They said, there's no buses coming in. And that was another long walk back there. And then eventually got home about 5 hours after leaving the house.
And this was to collect your child from crash.
Yeah.
And how are you feeling about the process? So you've witnessed this no more than myself then, firsthand, Jeff, today. What was your reaction?
I just think it's kind of, they could get more creative with how they want to go on strike, because it is kind of taking it out on, you know, the entire nation as opposed to the people whose attention they want to get. Well, they're getting their attention, obviously, but it just feels a bit too broad of an action. Like,
it's really impacting people, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is, yeah. And, like, as well, what your other caller was saying, like, oil's come down 15% today. I know it takes a few days for that to go through, but I feel like I'll probably do the government's job for them.
So what's your message to them? What, like, if you were to stop and chat to any of the protesters, what would you say to them?
I would say I empathise with you, and I think, you know, rather than have to rerun this anytime there's a fuel spike, there should be some kind of protocol in place here. But, you know, it's just, I think, like, people might be sworn at the moment, but I think it'll probably end up turning, you know, the longer this goes on.
So you think potentially some of the people that are in support of the protesters, that they might turn?
Yeah, the longer these things go on, I don't think it really goes well for them.
Yeah. And what about the government? Do you think the government should meet with them then, Jeff?
100%, yeah. I don't know if they've even put out any kind of statements addressing it, or
Well, Micheál Martin was talking about it a little earlier this morning, and you know, he had made the point that leaving Dublin City Centre, like leaving O'Connell Street like a car park, was unacceptable. You know, that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, I really don't see what the harm is in meeting with them. Like, they're elected representatives; they can go down, they can talk.
Can't they talk?
They do it right now. Yeah.
Conversation. Dialogue doesn't mean that you're giving in to people's demands.
No, 100%. It shows that, you know, you're willing to engage.
So you think there should be some meeting or engagement? We want to hear from people in every part of the country today. Send us in a voice note if you're able to do so. 087 1400 106 is the number. Jeff, you're back home, is that right? You've made it back home.
Yeah, it was a bit of an epic journey, but yeah, I got here eventually.
You got there, yeah. Okay. Well, look, I'm glad to hear that, and thanks for giving us a call. Listeners got in touch to tell me, will the farmers refund the €40 that my daughter had to pay for the Uber to DCU this morning, a student on minimum wage? I can only imagine their answer to that text. Another listener says, well done to the protesters and the truckers. We're all being robbed. Absolutely. They should be continuing this. Owen is with me on the line. Owen, where in the country are you?
I'm in Galway, Andrea. How are you?
Good, not bad. How's things there?
Well, I was travelling up from Kerry to Galway yesterday. And, you know, it's not for me to say exactly what should be done about the fuel crisis. But I just had, what I witnessed was really more a matter of safety, I thought. So we were stuck twice in two blockades, one on the M20 approaching Limerick, and the other on the M18, I think it was, coming north of Limerick, then up towards Galway. And one of the blockades was, my understanding was that there was actually, that the road was blocked fully by vehicles. The first blockade wasn't moving at all for a long time, and the second one then was, say, crawling at 8 or 10 kilometres an hour up towards Clare. And what happened then was that people started to try to use the hard shoulder to try to pass the blockade, the out of desperation, I presume. But then as one person did this, you know, more and more people got the idea of doing it. And then eventually the hard shoulder was completely occupied by cars. And then came the ambulances. And the ambulances then, some of them at least, they were forced to try to kind of squeeze between the two lanes of traffic. And people tried to let the ambulances pass. But the ambulances could only get through quite slowly at maybe, say, a cycling pace. Do you know what I mean? And this would have been an ambulance going, say, from County Clare to Limerick and back, I understand. Mm. So ambulances, from what I saw, hard shoulders, the intention mightn't have been to block hard shoulders, but the effect was that hard shoulders very much were blocked.
As a result of this.
When hard shoulders are blocked, an ambulance is
at best severely delayed, and it's potentially blocked full stop. Now, I think that anybody who organises that must take that into account. I think that, it's actually a foreseeable outcome of a protest like that. And they know now that that's what happens. And if they continue that style of protest, they know that this is the effect of that protest, and they must take responsibility for that. Okay, I hear people say the government should meet them, and it's not for me to say, but I wouldn't be able to demand a meeting with the minister because I drive my car up to a motorway exit and leave it there and then demand a meeting over some grievance. That's not how we operate. You know, that's blackmail, actually, that I can cause chaos, therefore I'm entitled to a meeting. What I would say is that there actually are representatives of organisations for hauliers, farmers, so on, whoever is involved. And my understanding is actually that they didn't organise it and didn't support us. Okay.
Well, certainly the feeling I got, Owen, I got this morning was that, you know, it's not organised by any of the large groups, and there isn't that support there. I mean, this seems to be a lot of individual, it's individual haulage and agricultural contractors and bus operators that are there.
Yeah. The way we operate in this country is that you don't get what you want by blocking a road. Okay? You don't demand a meeting with the minister by blocking a road. There are structures in place for consultation. Okay? Obviously, what should be done about the energy crisis, which affects everybody, is a complicated thing. I don't have any easy answers.
Okay.
But there are structures for consultation, and they don't involve holding everybody's
ransom. You think they've been held at ransom?
Delay,
okay.
Causing a public safety crisis, blocking and delaying ambulances, and then acting one has a grievance because a minister or a government won't meet you for blocking a road. What kind of way of that is operating?
Okay.
What kind of a way of operating is that?
Dermot is with me on the line. I think we got Dermot. No, we're going to come back to Dermot maybe in a moment. We're just going to take another, chat to another caller about this. Listener tells me the protesters have made their point. They need to go home now and stop blocking the rest of us from getting to work. Another listener says protesting is fine, but I would like to remind people they voted for this government. And this listener tells me, I'm a truck driver. We're doing this for everybody. The government are going to do anything. Everywhere is blocked up. They're going to have to do something, says this listener. Look, we're on day two, Owen, of this at this stage, approaching 12:30 now on Wednesday. We're already hearing it's going to continue into day three. You think Dermot is back with us? Dermot, you can hear me okay, you can?
Pardon?
You can hear me okay?
I can, yes.
Good. So what's your take on this protest?
I totally support the protest. I've never driven a truck, a van or a tractor in my whole life. But these people are being asked to work for nothing. In fact, they're being asked to deliver goods to shops, to factories, collect goods, and they're being asked to lose money to do it. They're being asked to pay money to do it. I wonder, would civil servants pay to go to work? This is a simple solution. The government are charging them excise and VAT, and all they have to do is remove the excise and VAT for truck drivers who have their tax clearance cert up to date. The government are still taking their tax and their excise duty from these people. It is grossly unfair. Most of them are self-employed. They have to pay their taxes.
So give in to all their demands, Dermot. Is that what you think the government should do?
No, I think they should absolutely just remove VAT and excise duty for people who have tax clearance certificates and who drive a truck. And when the oil goes below $80.
And this style of protest, Dermot, that we're seeing across the country.
I mean, I agree with it.
You agree with it? And the people that are missing out on the medical appointments and the whole lot.
I agree with it totally because people are being asked to work for nothing. Does everybody else in the country work for nothing?
No, they don't.
Right. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. So you've answered the question. These people are being asked to work for a lot.
Yeah. And we heard that today. We heard when I spoke to protesters.
And not get paid. Yeah.
So should the government meet them, Dermot?
Pardon?
Should the government meet them?
It should meet them.
Yeah.
Well, it's a simple solution. Just for a truck driver, truck companies, who are mostly self-employed, all they have to do is remove the excise duty and the VAT. The government are still taking the money. They're not actually giving them anything. And it can be solved in 10 seconds. And when oil goes below $80 a barrel, they remove it, they start charging excise duty and VAT again. It's a simple solution, and don't give it to them unless they have a tax clearance certificate. It is both very fair and proper.
Well, I'm going to assume that they have tax clearance certificates. Listen, there's a huge reaction to this. This is affecting the entire country today. We want to hear from you if you're in Cork, if you're in Galway, if you're in Waterford, Limerick, Kerry, Sligo, wherever you are, if you're affected by this. If you're one of the protesters, if you're somebody that's stuck in your car and can't physically move, if you're somebody that's trying to get from A to B today, medical appointments, maybe you're bringing the kids on an Easter camp, whatever your story, let us know. 1800 453 106. We're also back to O'Connell Street in Dublin to hear from protesters as well in a few moments' time. As we heard a little earlier in the programme, after I went to O'Connell Street at 9:30 this morning for an hour to meet with protesters, they say, we heard from them, they are likely to continue this indefinitely. That's what they told me here on the programme a little earlier today as well. We want to hear from you if you're affected by the protests across the country. Give us a call, 1800 453 106. That is the number. The impact of this protest, you know, it is really severe. And we've heard from people who've missed medical appointments and they can't get to see loved ones and they can't open their businesses and they can't get to work. And a lot of those same people are very much in support of the protesters. And that's why we want to hear your thoughts and your views on the programme. Email, as always, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. When I was down at O'Connell Street in Dublin City Centre this morning, I met with some of those who were part of this protest. They're not the organisers, but they're there in support of it. They've taken another day off work to be there, some of them there overnight as well. And I began by asking this man why he was protesting.
Why I'm protesting is because the fact is I run 25 buses and we just can't simply afford to start schools next Monday morning. It's just plain and simple as that. Our diesel bill has gone up in the last 14 days. It's gone up to about 7,800 euro in diesel. So, I didn't have that coming into the 2 weeks prior to that. So that's why I'm here today trying to... And we're part-time farmers as well, and we burn green diesel at home on the farm, so it's affecting me both ways. So
both of your businesses are affected by this?
Both our farm, my father home, and then when I do the buses separate to the farm, and between the two of them, our diesel bill has probably gone up between the diesel on the buses is 7.5, and then you probably could say 800 or 900 euro for the green diesel that I didn't factor it into me year ahead plan, you know what I mean? And after purchasing probably new buses in January of this year, with the price increase on buses, we bought them prior to the increase, and then all of a sudden now we have a diesel problem. Yeah. So
there is a real knock-on impact for you financially. This is something you can't obviously, I take it, then pass on to customers.
No, at the end of the day, I have kids going to school, and if I put on the increase onto the schools come back, and of course it comes back down to the mum and dad, and of course I'm a mum and a dad of a household, so it comes back. So if we put on a tenner onto a run for our kids, it comes back down to our house as well. So, and unfortunately, some of the runs that we've done, we're in a fixed contract since last September, so we can't actually change that. So that's where we are at the minute.
The government introduced the excise duty cut. We had that announcement in the last 10 days. So you, I suppose, as a motorist as well, have benefited from that. Can you see why some people are annoyed about this protest that's taken place, with motorists and commuters being blocked now from being able to travel across the capital city's biggest junction?
Yeah, no, I understand. But 95% or 96% of people are here today, and from me arriving here at 12 o'clock yesterday, they are all seem to be in favour of us trying to do some sort of good. Everyone is affected, but I just can't understand why the road hauliers are not out with us and taxis are not out with us.
Do you have IFA support?
It doesn't seem to be. No, I don't. 90% of the people that are here are farmers, and they're probably full-time and part-time farmers with other jobs, but the IFA don't seem to be here or nowhere near or anything. But when it comes to protests with the Mercosur deal and this, that and the other, they want us there and we're there with them, and then when it comes to fuel prices, they don't seem to worry about it.
This is day two. Are we likely to see day three?
Well, I can't really go home until we get an answer of some sort.
So you're prepared to stay here?
I'm going to stay here as long as I can, anyways, probably till Friday or maybe Saturday, if it is KSB. But
and has that already been organised by some of the organisers of this, or is that just you would be happy to do that?
Well, last night we just all had a chat together as individuals, and we came off the street at 9 o'clock here, and everyone wants to stay till we try and get an answer. Like, it's very easy for the government to just go in and even just to say to us, look, we'll talk about it on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. Just to say that if we could get some sort of arrangement, even a little bit of tax cut, it would help a bit better than...
Would an announcement of a meeting from government today shut this down?
Yeah, we've gone home in a half hour. Simple as that.
Yeah, we've gone home in a half an hour. That's what that bus driver told me at 9:30 this morning. As you heard him say, he is now there on O'Connell Bridge for 24 hours and happy to stay there indefinitely as well. I also noticed, you know, along the quays at 9:30 this morning, the traffic that was backed up at that stage and backed up from 6 o'clock this morning. We heard from haulage drivers in the first part of the programme. I also spoke to delivery drivers who were blocked in, and I went over and knocked on the car window of this taxi driver to get him to explain his situation, because he's not an active protester.
Actually, in deep of my heart, I am active protester with them because I support these farmers. Yeah, so I know I stuck here, I don't know for how long, but I am really supporting, yeah.
So you're a taxi driver here on O'Connell Bridge, and where the protest is, you're just two cars back from the protest. You've kind of been blocked, I suppose, or blockaded here in, and you can't move. How long have you been here?
About 1 hour, 1 hour and a half. I don't even know, actually.
You don't seem too annoyed.
No, because I support these people, you know, because I believe... For farmers, this is the most important part in our life, you know, the farmers. And I think, I living in Dublin 20 years, and I see how the Dublin is changed. How much I pay for the house 2013, how much the price of the house today, how much was the diesel when there was the first financial recession. The price of the diesel at this time, I have the Opel Corsa, that was the petrol car, but it was less than 1 euro for liters. Today we pay them 2 euros. So that's mean for the last 13 years, 20, we go for the wrong direction. Is if someone is going, especially the politician, they say is better, but it's not. Everything is more expensive. Everything is hard to get it. And even the price of the houses, price of the cars, price about everything. So if the people, if no one will be protest, so that's mean the politician will be go forward this direction. So what will be after a couple of years, after a few years?
So you're happy to sit here for a few more hours if you have to?
Just I need the toilets, but except this part, I'm happy. Yeah, I am really happy.
Yeah, like that was a taxi driver who'd been there from early this morning. And in the first part of the programme today, we spoke to two delivery drivers, one of whom had been there since six this morning and not able to move his delivery van, which is a refrigerated lorry. And he couldn't get through the blockade at O'Connell Bridge. 1800 453 106. That's the number. Tell us how you were affected, if you are affected by the protest today, if you support them or not. We want to hear from you. Or you can drop me a voice note. 087 1400 106. That is the number. Elaine is on the line. Elaine, do you support this second day of protest now that we're witnessing across the country?
Hi, thanks for having me on. I want to start by saying I fully endorse the right to protest. I do not endorse this form of protest in this manner, because it is not going to do anything except make it a huge inconvenience for an awful lot of people. And my understanding of it is that it's not organised. There's no clear demands. There's no organization to speak to. It's general pressure and protesting of how difficult their daily lives are with day-to-day costs, which a lot of the country want to support them in helping them have an easier way of making sure their businesses survive. It's showing the urgency of it. But this is... like looking at the number of services that are in person that are only available in the city centre, all the hospitals. I'm self-employed myself. I've been trying to get from one home to another, giving services to new families home after having their babies. And it's causing me to make a decision between seeing somebody or not seeing somebody, because again, my children are off on midterm and they need to be collected from their camps.
So you basically can't do your job today then, Elaine, can you?
My job has been hugely disrupted, and my husband has had to take a working from home day instead of going into his own office because he knew I was going to be disrupted getting back. And that we're privileged, we're in that position. But it's also for everybody else stuck in that traffic who's, I'm also really thinking of the people who are trying to get by on the bare amount of fuel that they're putting into their car, getting stuck in this traffic, having to put more fuel into their car when their own bottom line is stretched.
I mean, for the people that are actually stuck in some of the in some of the blockades today, like, they don't know when they're actually going to be able to get out of there.
And it's not going to, like, I'm just thinking of the last time I saw a protest of this scale was actually in Paris in 2023, where the bin men went on strike and they stopped collecting all the refuse and they stopped allowing access into the incinerators. They were trying to stop a law getting passed, which went through anyway in April, and it's still in law. This is the fuel prices in Ireland are because of a huge European-wide drive to reduce our carbon emissions. This isn't something that the government can just wave their hand and get rid of in the morning. But these businesses need help to survive. And that's more than just reducing the cost of their fuel. If they're genuinely struggling because of the increases that are here, there's more help in their business that's needed beyond the fuel.
So should they reverse out? Should they not continue with this into day three then?
Well, it sounds like they should be protesting to their organisations for more advocacy as a group. Like, if everybody who's disgruntled in every industry went out and stopped the country, the whole country would be at a full stop. With every valid complaint was allowed to bring the country to a full stop, where would we be? Everyone's got disgruntled.
Okay. No, it's a fair point, Elaine. You're not alone in that view. What about you, Hugh? Do you agree with Elaine?
Well, it's not so much agree or disagree with the protests. I just think it's actually pointless, right? When the price of oil and gas goes up, the producing countries, consuming countries like us, the standard of living drops. That's just an economic fact, right? So if the government was to say, OK, we'll reduce the taxes on fuel and diesel and this and that and the other, and at the end of the year they were down $1 billion or $2 billion in taxes, they'd have to tax it somewhere else, or they'd have to decrease wages or reduce services or whatever. It is actually economically illiterate to keep blaming the government, right? This has nothing to do with the government, right? The price of oil has gone from about $80 to about $120. It's back to about $100 today. So it's actually just ridiculous, right? And also, the truckers, right? I don't understand why they keep giving out. Every trucker, the prices have gone up. Nobody is at an economic disadvantage. Everybody was paying €1 for diesel last year, now paying €2. You're not at any disadvantage with
But for a lot of them, and for that last school bus driver that would have, we'll say, the likes of state contracts that have previously been negotiated, that can't be renegotiated. Yeah. Like that price...
Hold on. If he negotiated a contract there and the price of diesel went down to 50 cents a kilo, he'd be creaming it now. He'd be making a fortune, right? Yeah. He took a risk. If he didn't hedge his diesel ahead, he took a risk.
I know, but nobody could have, foreseen 12 months ago, though, with respect to you.
That's the point. You're in business. If you do a contract, you could, and the price had fell, he'd make a good bit of profit this year, right? But unfortunately, it went the other way for him, right? That's business. Okay. And I said, if you're a trucker...
So you think that what they're at's pointless then, day three, is that pointless
as well? Also, listen, maybe the government might give in to them and give them, but they'll have to raise the money somewhere else.
Okay,
so
fair
somebody
point.
Somebody else is going to have to pay for it. Either, you know, taxes will go up on somebody else or services will go down.
Okay.
The point I'm making here is that if you're an oil-consuming country like we are, right, and oil goes up, standards of living will drop. That's just a fact. There's no way about that.
Thanks, Hugh. Thanks for getting in touch and sharing your thoughts. John is on the line. John, do you support the protest?
Yeah, I do. I can totally. Look, I'm a bus driver. I was caught up in it yesterday. I'm also a part-time farmer, so I can totally empathise. These guys, like, look at how beautiful it is today. These guys do not want to be in Dublin today or Limerick or Cork. They'd rather be out in their fields at tillage, slurry, fertiliser. They don't want to be here. Now, I would say in terms of the, I know the other talkers there were speaking about firm, you know, the representative bodies should be talking to the government. That's the problem. They've lost all credibility. They don't believe in the representative bodies anymore.
That, so this is why,
to the wall.
Yeah, we've a grassroots nearly kind of selection of, you know, hauliers and farmers and agricultural contractors that are all there. But should the government meet with them? Because take a listen, maybe, if you don't mind, John, stay with me for a moment. Take a listen to Taoiseach Micheál Martin speaking about this earlier today.
We respect people's right to protest. But what is not acceptable is people declaring that we will turn O'Connell Street into a car park. That's not acceptable. There are people with businesses on O'Connell Street who need to survive, who need footfall, who need people to be able to access those businesses. And anybody who just simply parks a truck in the middle of nowhere, there should be penalties, and there will be penalties.
What's your reaction, John, to Micheál Martin's comments this morning?
That man is so out of touch with the ordinary public on the ground that he just doesn't see it. It's nearly like akin to Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. He is so far out of touch.
Well, like, I mean, the only thing I would say to you in that, like, Micheál Martin isn't the only person who made comments similar to that today. If you're listening to the first part of the show, we heard from people, from regular callers to the programme, who feel that the protesters are holding the country at ransom and who say the government shouldn't meet them.
They've absolutely no choice. They're literally, their backs are to the wall. I know, look, I get it from the other side. I seen it yesterday. I saw people left at bus stops where the buses couldn't get through. But they're literally, their backs are to the wall. This could be solved very quickly. Get the government ministers out to speak to these guys. They will speak.
But will
to
a meeting
them.
End this? This is my point. And I made this point myself a little earlier to some of the people that I spoke to down at O'Connell Bridge. Like, I'm not suggesting that you give into the into protesters' demands, but will a meeting actually call a halt to this today?
I'd say it will. Now, they're not going to get everything they want. Let's be fair about that, right? They're not going to get, we'll say, a huge rebate. But there's a little underlying tone here as well, right? All these protesters and the general public as well, and I'm not saying that billions should be spent on foreign aid. I get that we had to do our bit for Ukraine and whatever. But the theme here is, what about us? These are the middle squeezed that we hear about every day. They're only small businesses. Yeah. They pay their tax, they pay their PRSI, they employ people. Give them a break. Give them
something. So you think, so the optics of this, even just to hold a meeting, you think would benefit. 1800 453 106, the number. Slavik is with us on the line. You rang into Lunchtime Live. Do you support the protests?
Yes, I do.
What part of the country are you in?
Sligo.
Sligo, okay. And is there protests there today, Slavik?
Yes. Started obviously yesterday, heading in through Sligo from the south. So it started nearly in Colony, so 10 kilometers on the dual carriageway, completely blocked, you would not go. Heading out of Sligo to south, no problem, roads empty and all good.
Yeah.
And in the going back in the evening, a little bit, because they were coming, going out of Sligo again back to south. Affected a little bit of the traffic, but not too bad. I have seen a bit of traffic this morning as well, the same direction, dual carriageway going to Sligo.
Yeah.
But look, they do what they have to do, and I do agree with them.
You
I
agree
think
with them.
That there is a point in people's life when enough is enough, and people would need a reason to go and express what they feel. And The reason has come, you know, it would be this time or another time, but honestly, I think that the prices of the fuel we are paying too much is just the 60%.
So you think they've no choice but to do this protest?
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
All right.
60% that government takes is just too
what
much.
What about you,
know,
Daniel? Daniel's on the line, Slavik. Thanks for getting in touch. Do you agree, Daniel?
I don't, because they're blocking up Dublin City. They're not blocking up the government buildings. They're not blocking up the oil producers. They're blocking up ordinary decent people who are trying to go about their living, who are trying to just get by day to day, who are all suffering from the same thing. They have expensive rent, they have expensive fuel costs, they have expensive food costs. The businesses that are around the area are on tight enough margins because of the cost of running a business in the city, and yet they'll come up to the city and block up the whole place. They won't block up their hometowns because they'll have to face the people that they're blocking up in their hometowns the following week in schools and in shops.
Well, there's protests now in other parts of the country today. It's not just in Dublin.
Yeah, but no, they're on their own hometowns. They're not blocking up their own hometowns, so they won't. Because they'll have to face, they won't block it up for 2 or 3 days and cut all the businesses in the town off from doing business, the people from getting around it. Like, we all have the problem. We're all paying extra for the fuel. We're all paying extra for everything.
Mm.
So why should they just come up? You know, they're entitled to peaceful protest, but a protest has to be in accordance with the law. And blocking up an entire city and preventing everybody else from free access to the parts of the city and free movement around the city is not fair.
Well, O'Connell Bridge is totally at a standstill. I mean, unless it's changed since I was there this morning and went down to see it for myself, but it's totally shut.
No, it's the same people. And there's 2 5-2 tractors and there's 2 6-1 tractors and there's 2 4-1 tractors, all blocked up in trucks, all new. I know they're paying money for them, but they're still new. So they have money.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
They're still blocking up.
Okay, all right. Jess is with us. Thanks for getting in touch, Daniel. Do you support the protest, Jess? Are we affected by it?
So my mother was affected this morning just at the IFSC and the Customs House for over 2 hours, just at a standstill. She's, you know, an OAP. She's elderly. She sat there for about 2 hours and, you know, begun to get, you know, somewhat kind of distressed and needed a drink. She didn't have any food or drink with her in the car. I think what had happened to her was the protesters were actually physically blocking that junction. So they were standing around her and she approached them, got out of the car and asked, like, could she at least be let through, or how is she supposed to get a drink of water? There's no shops around. She can't just desert her car in the middle of the road. And their response was, well, you know, we're stuck here for 24 hours too. And you know, her point was, well, that's by choice. You know, I don't have any supplies with me. You know, I'm not physically able to stay in my car for this length of time. And there was no budging them. And eventually a Garda came to her assistance and let her through. But
in her car, yes, Jess. They let her through in the car. Okay, well, that's good to hear, because I didn't witness that this morning.
Yeah, the guard eventually let her through because she had spoken with them and there was no budging them. And They wouldn't move to let her through, so the guard eventually came to let her through. But I do agree with a previous caller that was online on the air earlier, and that they don't seem very well organised. Like, I do agree with their right to protest. I understand their concerns. I would share them myself in terms of the price of fuel and all the rest of it. But I think it just seems a little bit kind of, you know, disorganised, messy, you know. There seems to be nobody kind of leading them or in charge or deciding, you know, how do you actually deal with certain situations as they arise. And if it wasn't for the guard there, you know, I was thinking, I was like, I'm going to have to get a Dart in and I'm going to have to swap places with her and sit in the car while she goes off to get, you know, a drink of water or something, because they just can't leave people sitting there for that amount of time, you know, unaided.
And like the other side of this, Jess, when is she going to be able to move her car? Because by the sounds of what I've heard today, this has gone on another 24 hours.
Well, the guard did let her car through, so she's been able to go into work. But I don't know how she's supposed to get home because she'll face the same situation again. And, you know, some people, you know, they need their car. They can't just park it up and walk for miles to the next Dart station or the next bus stop. And, you know, there are a few people who are really stuck in these situations with no way out. And I just think if it was better organised, okay, shut off certain roads, you know, maybe go up to the Dáil and protest there. I don't know, but it's more than inconvenience to some people. You know, it's really limiting their ability.
Absolutely. And I'm really thinking, Jess, of the people today, you know, who have been long, long waited for medical appointments and maybe travelling to Dublin for those appointments. And I'm sure worried and concerned and now not able to make those appointments or didn't get to them in time and having to cancel them. And I have huge sympathy for those people that are affected. And I know I have to say that the reaction to this is very split. You know, the huge proportion of our listeners very much in favour with what the protesters are doing, and the other 50% think they've made their point and they should just pack up now and get behind the wheels of the tractors and head home. And the reality is, we've heard from Micheál Martin, who says, I mean, they think this is totally unacceptable. So what's going to happen? Because we're totally at an impasse here and we're already talking about day 3, and will there be day 4 and day 5 and day 6, and what happens next Monday when the schools go back? trying to deal with all of this. So I would have thought a level of dialogue would be required. I'm not saying you give in to the demands, not by any stretch of the imagination, but I would have thought talking to people might have been a good starting point. I've no doubt we'll continue to talk about this tomorrow. Do let us know your views. Keep your stories and your experiences coming into us. Drop us an email. It's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.